Welcome to Salt Church. Great to have you here this morning. My name's Mike. I'm the pastor here at Salt Church. It's great that you're here. We are looking at the book of Leviticus. And after that reading, I'm sure it's very applicable to everybody. So if you've got your Bible there, it'd be good to open it, please, to Leviticus 13. We're going to be in there and maybe a little bit around Mark's gospel as well. I feel like I might have had too much coffee this morning, so I'll take a deep breath and slow down. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together after the sermon as well. Let's pray as we come to hear God's word explained to us this morning. Our Father and our God, we want to thank you for your word to us, and we thank you that all scripture is useful for encouragement and correction and for training in righteousness, to rebuke us and to correct us. We want to thank you, Lord, that your word now speaks to us. And we pray that as we come to hear this part of the Bible, a part of the Bible that we're unfamiliar with or feels awkward to us or we're not sure what to do with, that you'd help us to understand it clearer this morning, that we might see the Lord Jesus and his goodness to us, and that you'd help me to speak in a way that's faithful and clear. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A few years ago, I walked onto an ICU isolation ward. Signs on the door, isolation. Sanitizer on the wall, gloves, gowns, instructions before you go in, wash your hands, sanitize, keep your distance, which just feels strange because the person that you've come to see is lying there right in front of you on the bed. You can see them, you can talk to them, but you're not meant to get close to them. Everything in you wants to move closer towards them, to sit beside them, to hold their hand, but the rules are very clear. Keep back. You're right there, but you can't get close to them. And hospitals make things even stranger because illness has a way of exposing the human body. Bandages, tubes, machines, things that normally stay hidden suddenly become very visible. Excuse me. Human frailty on display. And in that moment, you realize something. The body is far more fragile than we'd like to think that it is. The Bible says something even more confronting than that, that our bodies are not just fragile, they reveal that something's wrong with the human condition. Before we get into Leviticus, I wanted to take you to two stories about Jesus. Have you got your Bible there? We're going to look at Mark chapter 1 verse 40 together. And notice how this story begins, Mark chapter 1 verse 40. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Let's just pause here for a moment, because according to Leviticus, this man shouldn't even be near other people. He should be standing at a distance, shouting to everybody else, "Unclean, unclean." But instead, he comes close to Jesus, he kneels down, and he says to Jesus, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Now watch what Jesus does, verse 41. He reached out his hand and he touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Nobody touches a leper because uncleanness spreads. Touch the unclean person and you become unclean. That's how this system works. That's what Leviticus teaches us. But Jesus does the opposite. He reaches out. He touches him. Now just think about that for a moment. Everyone watching would have expected Jesus to step back. But instead, Jesus steps forward. And instead of uncleanness spreading, cleanness spreads. Immediately the leprosy is gone. Then Jesus says something really interesting. Look there, Mark chapter 1, verse 44. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Now, I want you to hold on to that for a moment, because that command sends us straight back to the book of Leviticus. But that's not the only story I want us to see. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Mark 5, 25 to 34. Let me summarize the situation here for us. Pardon me. There's a woman who's been bleeding for 12 years. 12 years. 12 years of exclusion, 12 years of shame, 12 years of living on the margins. Now, according to the book of Leviticus, that condition makes her unclean. Everything she touches becomes unclean. Everyone she touches becomes unclean. She shouldn't be standing in the crowds either. But she's thinking something. Listen to her now, Mark chapter 5, verse 28. If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. 12 years. So she pushes through the crowd. She touches Jesus, and immediately her bleeding stops. Jesus says this to her there in verse 34. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Two unclean people, a leper, a bleeding woman, both touch Jesus and become clean. And instead of uncleanness spreading, cleanness spreads. But if you're a Jewish reader hearing these stories for the first time, one detail would have jumped out immediately at you. Jesus touches a leper. A bleeding woman touches him. And according to Leviticus, that should make Jesus unclean. Uncleanness spreads, right? That's how this system works. But in these two stories that we've just looked at, the very opposite of that happens. Cleanness spreads. The leper becomes clean, the woman stops bleeding. Which raises a question for us, doesn't it? How can Jesus do that? Look again there, Mark chapter 1, verse 44. Go, show yourself to the priest. Why the priest? Why the sacrifices? Why send them back to Leviticus? Because if you want to understand what Jesus just did, you have to understand how uncleanness works. And that takes us back to Leviticus chapters 12 to 15. We're continuing our series this morning in the book of Leviticus called The Complete Bull. And so far, Leviticus has exposed us. Blood everywhere, sacrifices everywhere, because sin is the real problem. And if sinful people are going to live in the presence of a holy God, atonement is required. Blood on the altar, blood on the curtains, blood on the priests. But even the priests are a problem too, aren't they? Aaron can remove the guilt of the people, but who removes the guilt from Aaron? Nadab and Abihu showed us the priesthood itself is built on a fault line. And last week, if you were here with us, Leviticus 11 reminded us that we're not in Eden anymore. Clean animals, unclean animals. God is holy, and so Israel must learn the difference. But when we arrive here at Leviticus chapters 12 to 15, things get uncomfortable. Really uncomfortable. Because suddenly the focus shifts from animals to bodies, human bodies, skin, blood, discharges, disease. Leviticus 12 to 15 reads more like a report from the dermatologist. Pregnancy, periods, rashes, boils, bloods, hair loss. Leviticus is being brutally honest about something that we would rather not think about. The human body leaks. It bleeds. It oozes. It breaks down. When you wake up in the morning, you need to check your bed sheets. The Bible isn't embarrassed about that reality. Because the point of these chapters isn't about hygiene. It's about theology. Our bodies are telling the truth about us. And that is that something is wrong. See with me, won't you? Leviticus 13, verse 45 to 46. Anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face, and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. As long as the disease remains, they remain unclean. They must live alone. Outside of the camp, outside of the presence of God, outside of the people of God, outside the worship of God, excluded. But something deeper is going on here. Look carefully now with me, won't you? Leviticus 13, verse 14. 13, 14. Don't miss this. Whenever raw flesh appears on them, they will be unclean. When the priest sees the raw flesh, he shall pronounce them unclean. The raw flesh is unclean. They have a defiling disease. There's a repeated phrase throughout these verses. Maybe you saw it there. Raw flesh. If raw flesh appears, then the person is unclean. Why raw flesh? Because raw flesh is exposed flesh. Uncovered flesh. Unprotected flesh. Raw flesh is what happens when the protective layer of skin of the body is gone. And throughout the Bible, exposed flesh brings about the judgment of God. Go back to Genesis chapter 3. The eyes of both of them were opened and they realized that they were naked. Chapter 3 verse 7. Naked, exposed, ashamed. So what does God do? He covers them. Because exposed flesh cannot remain in the presence of God. But the Bible pushes even further than that. Look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 12. Have you got your Bible there? Genesis 6, 12. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on the earth had corrupted their ways. In the NIV, your Bible that you've got in front of you says, all the people. But the Hebrew phrase there is all flesh. God looks at humanity, and what does he see? All flesh has corrupted its ways. Humanity itself has become corrupted. And so the problem that we have isn't just behavioral. The problem is even deeper than that. The problem is the flesh. And that's exactly what Leviticus keeps exposing. Raw flesh. Bleeding flesh. Diseased flesh. Decaying flesh. The body is telling the truth about us. And that is we're fragile. We're broken. We're mortal. And more than that, we're sinful. So these people are excluded not because they've sinned necessarily. They're excluded because their bodies represent the condition of all of humanity. Every rash, every discharge, every ooze, every sore, every bleeding wound is like a billboard announcing something is wrong with the world. Human flesh cannot live safely in the presence of God, which raises a huge question for us, doesn't it? If human flesh cannot live safely in the presence of God, how can anyone ever come back into the presence of God? How can the unclean ever come home? Well, look there with me, won't you, at Leviticus 14. When someone becomes clean again, they don't just walk back in like something never happened. The priest examines them first, sacrifices have to be offered, and atonement is made for them in order to return to the camp. But if flesh is going to live in the presence of God again, atonement is what's required. A substitute. The lamb dies, the person lives. Now come back with me to those stories about Jesus from earlier. The leper, the bleeding woman. Both of these people represent exposed humanity. Diseased flesh, bleeding flesh, broken flesh. The kind of flesh that Leviticus says cannot stand before God. And yet both of them come to Jesus. And instead of uncleanness spreading, cleanness spreads. But how can Jesus do that? Well, friends, Jesus doesn't just remove uncleanness. He takes it upon himself. Isaiah 53 verse 4 says this, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering." Here, friends, is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And where does he end up? Outside the camp. Hebrews 13, verse 11, the high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Jesus suffers outside of the city, outside of the camp, outside of the religious system, outside the safety of community. He was excluded. He was rejected. He was forsaken. Listen to his words, my God, why have you forsaken me? And this is the great reversal of the gospel, because Jesus becomes the unclean one, so the unclean can now come home. And that means something astonishing, because the people that Leviticus send outside the camp are the very people that Jesus now invites to his table. And that brings us to the table this morning. Listen to these words, won't you, from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink of it in remembrance of me." The Lord's Supper is where we remember how we've been made clean. We come to the Lord's table not pretending that we're healthy, not pretending that we're spotless, but we come as people who know exactly what Leviticus now exposes within us. Fragility, brokenness, sinfulness. But Jesus stood there for us. His body was broken for us. His blood was poured out for us. The substitute, the sacrifice, the atonement. Because of Jesus, the unclean are no longer sent away. They are invited to come in. And so this morning, friends, don't stay outside the camp. Don't stay in isolation. Don't keep your distance. Come to the table. Not hiding, not pretending, but trusting. Because the one who says be clean is still willing and still able to forgive, heal, and restore. But before we come to the table together, I want us just to take a moment now. Where in your life right now do you feel unclean? Where do you feel exposed? Where do you feel like you're standing outside the camp? In isolation. Bring that to Jesus. Because he is the one who takes the uncleanness of the world and makes us clean. And so here's our spiritual practice this week. Every time you wash your hands for the next 7 days, I want you to remember, you've been made clean. Not by your efforts, not by hiding, not by pretending, but by Jesus. The one who touches the unclean and makes them clean. The one who bore our flesh so that we might live in the presence of God. Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus, we want to thank you that you are the one who can heal us. And we acknowledge this morning that our bodies are broken and fragile and sinful, and that as they decay and break down and do all sorts of embarrassing things, we're reminded again how desperately we need you. Thank you for the very physical reminder that we are broken. Would you help us rather than run from these things, rather than try to cover them, that we might bring it all to you, Lord Jesus, the one who is willing and able to heal, forgive, and restore. And we thank you that you stood outside the camp for us, that you were excluded, that you were isolated, that you took our sin upon yourself, even to the point of complete dereliction from your Father. My God, why have you forsaken me? Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you were forsaken for us, so that we might be invited in, so that we might come to you, so that we might enjoy your presence, so that we might sit at your table. And as we celebrate the Lord's Supper together this morning, we pray that we might know your presence, that we would come in rather than stay out, that you would allow us, not just physically, but our spiritually as well, to come and stand before you because of your kind invitation. We give you thanks for these things, and we pray them now in Jesus' name. Amen.